This series by UBS is presented by Automated Voices and may include adaptive narration.
Hi, I'm Anna from the UBS Chief Investment Office. It's Monday, the 8th of June, and the time is 6:30 a.m. in New York. Equity markets generally moved lower. In the U.S., the S&P 500 closed down 2.6%, while the NASDAQ 100 fell 4.8% in the latest session. Across Europe, the Stoxx Europe 600 is down 0.8%, and Switzerland's SMI is lower by the same amount. In Japan, the Nikkei 225 is down 3.8% at the time of writing. In currencies, 1 euro buys $1.153, while 1 US dollar buys 0.8 Swiss francs. And in commodities, Brent crude is up 4.8% and trades at $98 a barrel, while gold is down 1.1%, trading at $4,292 an ounce. That's all for markets. Now let's take a look at the latest market developments and our thought of the day.
Thanks, Anna. So, what has been driving the latest pullback in equities, and what stands out about the market action so far?
Thanks, Daniel. Equities extended their declines on Monday, with Asian benchmarks posting losses between 1.5% and 8% at the time of writing, and the Stoxx Europe 600 opening 0.8% lower. The risk-off mood continues after U.S. stocks and bonds fell sharply on Friday, driven by a confluence of factors, including media reports that Meta was set to raise equity, follow-through pressure after Broadcom's underwhelming artificial intelligence revenue outlook, a sharp unwinding in semiconductor stocks after the recent rally, and a stronger-than-expected U.S. jobs report that intensified worries the Federal Reserve could raise rates to head off inflation risks. The S&P 500 fell 2.6%, ending the index's 9-week winning streak, while the tech-heavy Nasdaq was down 4.2% on Friday for a weekly decline of 4.7%. Selling was especially strong in semiconductors, where positioning and expectations had become stretched after the Philadelphia Semiconductor Index rallied more than 80% from the end of March through early June. Notably, the equal-weighted S&P 500 index declined a more modest 1.4%, which underscores that the sell-off was driven largely by profit-taking in technology and semiconductor shares rather than broad weakness across the market.
Right. And what role did the economic data and the geopolitical backdrop play in deepening that risk-off mood?
Yeah, they both mattered. Data showed that the U.S. economy created 172,000 net new jobs in May, roughly twice the consensus forecast, while the unemployment rate held steady at 4.3%. That followed data earlier last week showing job openings at a 2-year high. The strength of the U.S. labor market, despite recent headwinds from higher energy prices, caused investors to increase expectations for tighter monetary policy. Markets are now fully priced for a 25 basis point hike by the Fed by the end of the year, and the 2-year U.S. Treasury yield rose 11 basis points to 4.16%. Sentiment has also been undermined by the lack of progress in talks between the U.S. and Iran, alongside mounting evidence that the closure of the Strait of Hormuz has led to falling oil inventories and lower production.
While President Donald Trump is insisting that an agreement to end the wider war remains well within reach, Brent crude rose 4.4% to $97.2 a barrel at the time of writing after Israel and Iran traded strikes over the weekend.
So after that setback, do we still expect the rally to resume?
Yes, we do. After the strength of the recent rally, a pullback in markets was to be expected in our view. 9 consecutive weeks of gains had taken the S&P 500 to a fresh record high as of the 2nd of June, with an advance of 11% year to date. Even after Friday's decline, the index is still around 8% above its level prior to the launch of U.S.-Israeli attacks on Iran on the 28th of February. Despite renewed anxiety over rates, equity issuance, and geopolitics, we expect the rally to resume. First, we do not expect investors to lose confidence in the artificial intelligence outlook. Although tech stocks have come under pressure in recent days amid concerns about whether expectations can be met, business fundamentals remain strong. Demand for AI tokens, the basic unit of AI output, has continued to exceed supply even after recent years of heavy investment. And big tech equity raises signal that overall capital spending on artificial intelligence is likely to remain high for some time.
Our view is that continued artificial intelligence adoption alongside a healthy U.S. consumer should drive 20% earnings per share growth for the S&P 500 this year, supporting additional market gains over the medium term.
And how do we assess the central bank story and the conflict in the Middle East from here?
While we believe markets continue to overstate the hawkishness of the major central banks, in our view, the risk of a Fed rate hike remains low, and despite the strong pace of jobs growth, we think the Fed is also likely to be reassured by the slowing of wage growth to 3.4% on the year based on Friday's data. For the Fed to raise rates, we would likely need to see an acceleration of economic growth, clear signs of faster wage increases, and indications that inflation is breaking out of its recent range. At present, none of those conditions has been met, and we expect signs of cooling core inflation, excluding food and energy, to allow the Fed to cut rates at its December meeting. Meanwhile, in the Eurozone, we expect a rate increase this week. However, we believe there will be only one further hike in 2026 after the June meeting, with policymakers being restrained by the drag to economic growth from higher prices. On geopolitics, we do think the U.S.-Iran conflict will continue to contribute to volatility, but both sides have a powerful incentive to reach a compromise, with Iran eager to rebuild and growing pressure from the U.S. Congress to end the war. The recent focus on a more limited framework to reopen the strait, while leaving the issue of Iran's nuclear program for more detailed talks, could increase the chances of a breakthrough.
So, how should investors position portfolios in this environment?
We continue to see the rally as well supported by fundamentals. At the same time, we encourage investors to use market strength to rebalance portfolios and diversify across various strategies. First, diversify across equities. Market performance has been driven primarily by a relatively small number of companies, increasing the potential risks to poorly diversified investors. In response, we recommend that investors consider diversifying more broadly, including by adding exposure to our preferred markets, which include Japan, emerging markets, China, global healthcare, Switzerland, and European consumer discretionary. We also favor diversifying across the artificial intelligence value chain to areas such as global industrials and power and resources. Second, lock-in yields. While the rise in energy prices has added to risks of tighter central bank policy, our view is that markets have gone too far in pricing hikes. The recent sell-off in global bond markets therefore presents an opportunity for investors to lock in yields by adding to quality bonds, particularly in the short and medium maturity segment, in our view. In Europe, yields may remain volatile as the European Central Bank tightens policy, so selectivity is important. Fiscal and inflation risks are higher in longer duration debt. Equity income strategies and yield-generating structured investment strategies can further support diversified income. Third, hedge market risks. The latest bout of volatility provides a reminder that markets can go down as well as up. Global equities have set new all-time highs, though residual risks remain, with the Strait of Hormuz still closed, rising artificial intelligence competition, and elevated fiscal deficits. Investors can consider using periods of relative market calm to add hedges to manage portfolio risks. This includes replacing linear equity exposure with strategies offering a degree of downside protection. The goal is to reduce the risk of large drawdowns while maintaining participation in potential rebounds.
Great, thanks, Anna. Now let's turn to what else caught our attention today. Europe's corporate opportunity. The European Central Bank will take center stage this week, with policymakers expected to raise rates in response to the recent energy price-induced acceleration in inflation. We expect this to be the first of two rate increases this year, as the ECB seeks to head off a more sustained rise in underlying inflation. The move looks set to intensify headwinds to Eurozone growth stemming from higher fuel bills, and we have recently scaled back our forecast for Eurozone GDP growth this year to 0.8% from 1.3%. This reflects subdued consumption growth, sluggish investment, and a still weak contribution from government spending, despite Germany's ambitious fiscal package. Our view is that tighter monetary policy and weaker growth create a more challenging backdrop for Eurozone assets, but they do not fully capture the resilience of European companies or the breadth of opportunities linked to global demand and structural innovation in our view. In fact, although the Eurozone economy is losing steam, earnings momentum has increased, we forecast Euro Stoxx 50 earnings to grow 8% this year and 15% in 2027. In addition, a weak regional growth outlook does not mean all European equity opportunities depend on a recovery in domestic demand. Many European leaders are positioned where technology meets factories, grids, vehicles, buildings, infrastructure, and data centers. We think investors should focus more on the European companies best placed to compound earnings through healthcare innovation, global consumer demand, lifestyle and premiumization trends, and the physical deployment of technology. Positioning after the Asia AI supply chain sell-off. Heavy selling continued across Asian equity markets on Monday, with investors in particular trimming exposure to leading artificial intelligence names across the regional supply chain. South Korea's KOSPI index fell as much as 9% and triggered a circuit breaker pause in trade, with memory-related names under particular pressure. Japan's Nikkei 225 and Taiwan's benchmark index fell 3.9% and 3.5% respectively, led lower by semiconductor and semiconductor capital equipment names. Our view is that Asia's AI supply chain has benefited from relatively disciplined capital spending, persistent supply bottlenecks, and surging customer demand for increased AI compute. Given the strength of the most recent leg of the rally, a modest pullback in the Asia supply chain into risk-off headlines is understandable in our view. For investors with significant single company exposure, we continue to recommend reducing concentration while maintaining exposure to the broader AI theme. For investors who remain under-allocated to technology, we would look for opportunities to use the sell-off to build exposure selectively. Our preference within Asia's AI supply chain is for companies tied to AI agentic systems, including central processing units, memory, optics, and select power semiconductors. And that's it for today, and we look forward to bringing you the latest House View update tomorrow.
This material has been prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS Switzerland AG, regulated by FINMA in Switzerland, its subsidiaries or affiliates collectively referred to as UBS. The investment views have been prepared in accordance with legal requirements designed to promote the independence of investment research. This material is for your information only and is not intended as an offer or a solicitation of an offer to buy or sell any investment or other specific product. The analysis contained herein does not constitute a personal investment recommendation or take into account the particular investment objectives, investment strategies, financial situation, and needs of any specific recipient. This material may not be reproduced or copies circulated without prior authority of UBS. Please visit www.ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer to read the full legal disclaimer applicable to this material.